Please take your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus. Chapter 20. Last week we began a six-part series on the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, we see that the Lord spoke these words. The people heard the voice of the Lord as He spoke these commandments. And it began what followed. What followed was the laying out by Moses of the entire law for the people of Israel. But to get it started, God spoke. And He gave these Ten Commandments, kind of like the preamble, laying the foundation for all the law that would follow to organize this new nation. And so we're looking at these Ten Commandments. In chapter 19, in verses 16 to 19, we saw that this is taking place at Mount Sinai. It was a rather noisy time. There was a lot of sound going on, a lot of visual. There was thunder, there was lightning, thick cloud over the mountain, there was a loud trumpet blast, there was smoke. The mountain trembled, the scripture says. And then, as all that is happening, the voice of the Lord was heard, and He spoke these commandments. As you know, last week when we read that in chapter 19, I challenged the children to, as we continued the message, draw a picture of what it might have been like going by that description in chapter 19. And so we're going to share this with you as we get started. We received some drawings, six or seven. Here's one of the mountain, and we've got the lightning there, and this cloud, this looks like some lady's hair there, but it's clouds. Okay, next one. Here's a picture of the mountain with some clouds, and that's probably lightning up there. Next one. Another picture. Lightning. Here's a colored one of a tall, skinny mountain. Looks like a little fire up there. Next one. Okay, we've got a boom. You see the word boom there? Okay, that must be the thunder. And some yellow lightning by the mountain. Next one. Looks like it was three mountains. And lightning and people beneath each of them. Next one. That's pretty nice. Looks like we got fire coming out of the mountain. Nice mountain. Wow. Any more? Yeah, there's one. Kaboom, it says. Kaboom with the clouds over the mountain. Is that the last one? Okay, very good. So I don't know who those children were, but give them a hand. Very good. So today what we're going to do is just move on. Last Sunday we looked at the first two commandments. When you hear it's a six-part series on the Ten Commandments, you know, do your math. Obviously we're not going to do one a week. So we're going to be grouping them a little bit and looking at more than one commandment each week. So last week we looked at two, the first two, and today we'll look at the next two, numbers 3 and 4. I think we'll pray first, and I think I'll have you stand as we pray. Just in case you're feeling a little sleepy, want to get rid of that. So, Father, we thank You. Oh Lord, we've spent the morning singing about Your holiness. You are a holy God. Hallowed be Your name. And Father, I pray that that thought would permeate through this study, as we see these next two commands that you gave your people as you began to form that nation. Father, I pray that you would help us to see how these things apply to us here in the Iron Range today. And may we leave this place willing to respond to your commands. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me read for you verses 7 to 11, where we have these next two commandments given. Verse 7. Remember, this is God speaking. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Commandments 3 and 4. Commandment 3 says, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Some Bibles say, do not take it in vain. Do not speak it in vain. Do not use it in an improper way. Do not misuse the name of the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, your God. So, for now, just to say, my observation there is that we're talking about a holy name. We're talking about a name that's different from all others. The name of Yahweh, the name of the Lord. And the commandment is, do not misuse that name. The second command that we're going to look at today, number 4, says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And my observation there is that it's talking about a holy day. A holy day. So, commandments 3 and 4 talk about a holy name and about a holy day. So that's what we're going to look at. We're trying to answer 5 questions about all the commandments. So every week in this study, we'll be thinking about those 5 questions. Why were they given back then? Why were they initially given as commands to the people of Israel? What do they mean? What do they tell us about God? Is there something about God we learn from these commandments? What do they tell us about ourselves as human beings? Can we learn anything about us by looking at these commands? And then, are they relevant to our lives today on the Iron Range? And if they are, how? So we'll ask those questions about these 2 commands today. Why were they given? Initially, why were these commands given to the people of Israel by God? Well, I want to suggest this. As I think through it, it seems that commandments 3 and 4 just continue this thought that God is presenting to the Israelites. I think he's continuing this idea of making it very clear from the beginning as he sets up this nation that he is an exclusive God and he is a supreme God. The exclusiveness and the supremacy of God seem to be emphasized as these commands begin. So last week, you shall have no other God. That's exclusiveness. You shall have no other God before me. That's supremacy. You shall not make no idols representing gods and worship them and bow down. It's reminding them of the exclusiveness of their God, Jehovah. The only one they're to bow down to and worship. And now we come to 3 and 4, and it follows that same idea of exclusiveness and supremacy. Because God says, you don't misuse my name. My name is different. My name is holy. My name is unlike any other name. It is exclusive. It is supreme. You do not misuse it. So that same thought. And then he speaks of a day. And he calls that day holy, different, exclusive from the other 6 days. Set apart from the other 6. And he says, observe that day. Remember that day. Commemorate that day. Celebrate that day. And do it in a way that makes that day holy, different, set apart. So I think the reason these two are given is because they follow that pattern of exclusiveness and supremacy on the part of God. Last night I was at my hometown, New Fulden, and I was there because our 1971 baseball team, best baseball team ever in that high school, that's what they said. I mean, that's not me. But us guys were inducted into the school's Hall of Fame last night. And our coach was there. And Coach Euland was a great coach, wonderful coach. But I remember one of the things he would do before the season started is he would talk to us. He would introduce himself if some of the players didn't know him. And before he even talked about the season, before he even talked about his philosophy of the game, before he talked about how we were going to go about playing baseball that year, before he talked about anything about the season, the first thing he talked about was his position. And making it very clear, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he was the coach. He was the man. He called the shots. And I remember that from the beginning. That's the first thing he did. So that we had no doubts who the coach was. And it's like here, when God is about to have Moses lay out for the people of Israel as he begins to organize this nation, all the laws, the civil laws, the moral laws, the religious laws and practices, God himself speaks the first words, and it's 10 commandments, and the first 4 commandments he basically says, so you have no doubt, I want you to know, I'm the coach. I am your God and I'm your only God. You will have no other gods. You will not make any idols that represent any gods and worship them. And I have a name, and it's different than any other name, and you will not misuse it. And I have blessed the day, and you will observe that day, and you will keep it holy. I think that's what he's doing. I think that's why he gave these 2 commands. It continues this pattern of starting out by saying, I'm supreme. I'm supreme. This is an exclusive thing here. I'm your only God. What do these 2 commandments mean? Well, let's start with, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Like I said, some Bibles, the way I learned it when I was in Sunday school, you know, do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Vain means empty, purposeless, frivolous, in a way that is disrespectful, you know. Do not misuse it. It's a holy name. Yahweh, Jehovah. And he says, do not misuse that name. Use it properly. Do not speak that name in a vain way. It's holy. So I think that's what it meant. It meant what it said. It's about his name. And he did not want his people speaking it in an improper way, misusing it, using it in a profane way. You know, we talk about profanity. Profane just means common. That's what it means. And so I think what God is saying is, my name is holy, and you do not use my name in a profane way, in a common way, like it's no different than any other name. And it can just roll off your lips for any reason, frivolously, no purpose, as a curse, whatever. Do not misuse my name. It's holy. That's what it means. Well, what does the fourth commandment mean? When it talks about the holy day, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. To remember is to observe, commemorate, celebrate. So observe the Sabbath day. The word Sabbath simply means rest or cease, stop. And so there's a day that God is calling Sabbath. It's a stop day. It's a cease day. It's a rest day. That's the idea of Sabbath. And he says, I want you to observe the Sabbath day, the rest day, by keeping it holy, different, set apart from the others. Okay? Let me give you a little history of the Sabbath day, the Sabbath. We first read about it in Genesis chapter 2, right? At the very beginning, when God is creating, we first read about this idea of a different day, of a rest day, a stop day. And in Genesis 2, after we've had the description of the creation, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day, made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. That's the first time we hear about Sabbath. It was the seventh day God created 6 days, and then on the seventh he stopped, he rested, he took a break, and he blessed that day. And he made that day holy, different. One out of seven, different. The next time we hear the Sabbath referred to is where we study this morning in our adult class. It's in Exodus chapter 16, where you have the story about the manna. Remember the manna coming from the sky for the people of Israel to eat? When he gave instructions about the manna, he brought up Sabbath. He said, for 6 days straight, when you wake up, you're going to see this stuff on the ground, this manna. And you will collect enough for your family for the day. No more. And then the next day, there'll be enough. You'll collect enough for that day. Do this for 6 days. But he said on the sixth day, collect twice as much, so that on the seventh day, you can rest from collecting manna. You'll have enough for the seventh day. And so on the seventh day, there won't be manna on the ground. You won't collect it. You get a day off. And in Exodus 16, guess what he calls that day? Sabbath. A rest day, a stop day, a different day, where you don't have to collect manna. So those are the first two times. Then, it's brought up again here, in chapter 20, when he gives these commands. And he says, remember the Sabbath day, the rest day, the stop day, the different day. and keep it holy. Observe it in a holy way. Then, as we read through the Old Testament, the Israelites begin to do that, to follow that command. They have this day, one out of six, they work, like he says, but on this seventh day, called the Sabbath, the rest day, the stop day, they observed that differently. They came away from their work, what they did the other 6 days, and it was a commemoration day. They would gather together, they would remember what God had done in His creation, they'd remember what God had done in the Red Sea crossing, getting them out of Egypt. They would worship Him together, and it was just a day to come away from what they did the other six. Problem arose, though, in Israel. The religious leaders, as time went on, began to add all these rules, all these Sabbath rules. And they ended up with a list of over 1,000 rules, things that could not be done on the Sabbath day. And they were just really goofy, to the point where the Sabbath day became a drudgery for the people. The Sabbath day became a gloomy day. The Sabbath day became a day of don'ts. And it wasn't enjoyed anymore. There were so many rules. In fact, one writer says it probably took them 6 days to read all the rules that they were supposed to follow on the Sabbath. For instance, here's three examples, three of the 1,521 extra rules that God never gave, but the religious leaders came up with over time. One of the Sabbath rules was you could not carry a burden on the Sabbath. That was work. Anything heavier than a dried fig. They even came up with a standard. Now, anybody ever held a dried fig? I mean, you couldn't carry anything heavier than a dried fig. There was one exception. You could carry your children, your baby, your little children. As long as they weren't holding anything. A second of the many rules on the Sabbath was you could not wear your false, yes, there were false teeth. You could not wear your false teeth on the Sabbath. You know why? Because there's always a chance your teeth are going to fall out, and if you stoop down to pick it up, your false teeth weigh more than a dried fig, and you'd be working and violating the Sabbath rule, so no teeth on the Sabbath day. And a third one, women could not look in a mirror on the Sabbath. You know why? They might see a white hair and be tempted to pull it out, and that would be work. Now that's three of 1,521. Sabbath rules made up by the religious leaders of Israel over time. God didn't give those rules. But these religious leaders had the whole list. And as a result, the Sabbath day became a drudgery. It became a gloomy day. It became a day where the Sabbath police were all over the place. These religious leaders watching to see if you were violating any of the 1,521 Sabbath rules. What was meant to be a gift from God, a day where you could come away from the other six and rest, a day that could be different, you could gather and commemorate and remember what God had done and worship Him, it became a drudgery. It became a rule-keeping day for the people of Israel. Then Jesus came along. Jesus never said anything negative about the Sabbath. In fact, He said, I didn't come to change anything about the law. I came to fulfill it. He said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I gave it. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. He got in trouble with the Sabbath police, right? He healed on the Sabbath. That's work. He let His disciples pick some grain to eat on the Sabbath. That was work. He got in trouble. And He told those Sabbath police, you can do good on Sabbath. You can heal on the Sabbath. You can help people on the Sabbath. You can eat on the Sabbath. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a gift. It's not a drudgery. Then the apostles came along after Jesus left, and they went throughout the world presenting the gospel. And everywhere they went, did they preach against the Sabbath? No. Every Sabbath they found a group of Jewish people and gathered with them in the synagogue. Shared about Jesus. They didn't tell them to stop meeting on the Sabbath. They joined him on the Sabbath. Then you have the new church. The new church that's developed because these people are coming to Christ. There was still the Sabbath that the Jews practiced. But these Christians began to have a Sabbath on a different day. The first day of the week. And they would follow the same principle. It became 1 and 6, a rest day, a stop day, a different day, a holy day. They'd gather together. They commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. And some of the Jewish Christians felt it important to still observe the Jewish Sabbath. Paul said, don't judge each other on that. Romans 14. Don't judge each other. If some of these Jewish Christians want to still observe the Jewish Sabbath, fine. If you don't want to, fine. And then there's us. 7 days shall you labor. No rest day. No different day. No holy day. No day set aside to gather and remember God's work and worship Him. We've become a society that's, you work 7 days. And if you do go away from your work, that seventh day is your day. Right? That's my day. Wait a minute. Isn't it God's day? Isn't it the day He blessed? The day He made holy? The day we are to observe and keep it holy? Keep it different? But you see, today, it's my day. It's a day for me to do all the things I couldn't do the other six. It's my day. It was very valuable as far as the meaning. I mean, practical. You need rest, right? It was practical. God wanted to take care of His people. It was a gift. You get to rest 1 day out of six, out of seven. Work six, rest the other. It was theological. God was saying, this is my day. I blessed it. Keep it holy. It's for me. So that's what it meant. God is reminding them, I'm the only one, no other gods, no idols. Keep my name holy. Don't misuse it. It's a holy name. And I've given you a holy day. I've given you a rest day, a stop day, a day that's different out of the seven. Observe it that way. What do they tell us about God? Do we learn anything about God from these two commandments, third and fourth? Well, one thing I learn is that God really cares about His name. He takes His name seriously. How we use His name matters. Did you notice what He says after the command? You're accountable if you misuse my name. Isn't that what He's saying there in that verse? There will be judgment, He's saying, if you misuse my name. It's that holy. So you really learn that God takes this seriously. It matters. His name matters to Him. How we use it. We also learn that God is a gracious God. The fourth command. He gave a gift of a day. A day of rest. A day of changing your routine. A day of stepping away. A day for Him. A day to keep holy. A day to worship Him, to commemorate Him, to remember what He's done. But of course we say, yeah, but every day is a holy day. Every day is a day for God. Sounds so spiritual. God knows every day is a holy day. Every day should be for Him. But God also said, there's one day that's going to be different. It's going to be used differently. It's for me. Yeah. So, let's not try to be too spiritual on this, to explain away the Sabbath day. God did give one day. He did say one is special. One is holy. And that matters to Him, apparently. Do these two commands say anything about you and I, human beings in general? Well, I think the third one kind of implies that we have a tendency to get lazy and sloppy with God's name. You think we have that tendency? We get lazy and sloppy with the name of God, the name of the Lord, Yahweh. We forget how holy that name is, how sacred that name is. We got to work on that. We had to have a command given to us because we're a people that tends to get lazy and sloppy with God's name. And we use it for all kinds of things that are useless, all kinds of things that are profane, they're common, all kinds of things that curse other people, all kinds of things that are meaningless, and we use the name of God. You know, we tend that way, so there's a command to deal with that. The Sabbath command, we learn anything about ourselves as human beings? I think we do. I think we're reminded that we need rest. We were not created to work 7 days a week. Work, work, work. We weren't created that way. I think this command implies we need rest. We need a rhythm. 6-1. 6-1. That seems to be the principle. And God knows that. He created us. He knows we need rest. It's a gift. But we're not going to do it on our own, so He gave us a command to rest and give a day to Him. By the way, this is just interesting. You ever wondered where the week came from? The 7 day week? Now we can explain some other time periods. We can explain the day, the 24-hour day. That has something to do with the Earth's rotation, right? We can explain the month. That has something to do with the lunar cycle, the moon. We can explain the year. That has to do with the Earth's revolution around the sun type thing. But there is no explanation for the week. Where did we get the 7 day week? Genesis 2. God made it up. He worked 6 days in creating, and then He decided to take a day off. And then He decided, you know, I think everybody I created should get into that rhythm. I think it's a good thing. They need to rest. 1 and 7. And while they're at it, I'm going to bless that day. I'm going to make it holy. It's going to be my day. And they're going to rest and remember me and commemorate me and what I've done and worship me. The 7 day week, the only explanation is God just came up with it. It was His idea. We can explain those others, the day, the month, the year, scientifically, if we choose. The week was simply God's idea. He found a rhythm from the very beginning. And He said, I want my people to get into that rhythm. It's good for them, and it gives me a day when they will focus on me. And we have messed that up. We have messed it up. And the day that was meant for God has become our day. My day. So, is it relevant? Are these two commands relevant? I think they are. I mean, God hasn't changed His name, has He? Still Yahweh? Still Jehovah? Still the Lord? The Creator? Has He changed His name? No, He hasn't. Think He changed how He feels about His name? I don't think so. Is it relevant on the Iron Range? Oh boy. It's relevant on the Iron Range as anywhere else. We Christians, we who belong to God, have to be very careful because we get lazy and sloppy with the name of God. It is holy. It is different from any other name. There is no other name. And you have a whole list of scriptures in a box on top of your sheet. And they all talk about the name of the Lord. And they say it is holy. It is to be exalted. It is to be given glory. Jesus gave a prayer. It starts out, Our Father, who art in heaven, what? Hallowed be Your name. Holy be Your name. We need to keep that name sacred, friends. If anybody's going to do that, it's got to be we who know the Lord, who know this person whose name is holy. May we keep it holy. May we never misuse it. But then, of course, there's the Sabbath one, and of the ten, that's the one we can just kind of toss off to the side, right? I can't find any scripture where it's been tossed off to the side. Okay? I find scripture where there was some disagreement among Christians about that day, you know, Sabbath days. But the Apostle Paul or any of the writers never said, toss it off. They said, don't judge each other about Sabbath days. Here's one for you. A question people will ask at this point is, well, which is it? Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? You know, what's the Sabbath day? You know, what's my 1 and 6? Or 1 and 7? What's the Sabbath day? I mean, some people do the 6th day. Some people, you know, Saturday. Some people do the 7th day, Sunday. Or they call it the 1st day, Sunday. You know, what day is it? Think about this. In Genesis 2, where we first hear about the Sabbath, the 1 in 7, 6 days, 1 day. What were those days called in Genesis 2? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Exodus 16, the manna thing. Did God say, Monday through Saturday, pick manna. Sunday, rest day. There wasn't a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The days weren't named then. Those names came about from the Greeks and Romans. And they were named after gods. They had to do with gods. The Lord didn't name those days. You know? He didn't say work Monday through Saturday. Sunday's your day off to commemorate me and gather and worship and keep holy. He just said 6-1. 6-1. 6-1, right? And we argue about Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, you know. Instead of arguing about the day, how about if we commit ourselves to the principle? There needs to be one day that's different in my life. There needs to be one day out of seven that I give to God. And I know I need to give Him every day, right? So don't give me that spiritual stuff. I know we have to give Him every day. But He said, I want one special day. That's different. He said that. And so, you know, what's the answer? Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Is it Wednesday? Is it Monday? It's one out of seven. It just so happens that there are certain days that we're better able to practice the principle, right? Okay. And in our culture, it happens to be Sunday. For some people, it's Saturday. Maybe for some people it's another day, I don't know. But the principle is one out of seven. Set apart for the Lord. To observe, commemorate, celebrate for Him, making it holy. Assembling to worship and remember what He has done and give Him praise. I'm not so concerned about arguing the day. The Greeks and Romans gave us those days. I'm concerned about the principle God gave in the command. Are we giving Him one day? Are we in that rhythm? Or are they all my day? We find out pretty quickly who our God is and what our God is. And who our God is not if we can't give one day out of seven to the true God. I'm not going to go into examples of who those or what those gods would be, but you know. Let's wrap it up with the same challenge and encouragement that I'm going to give for all the commandments. And that is, the encouragement to take these commandments and turn them into commitments. Sometimes we use the word commandments and for some reason it's become a negative thing to us. You know, commandments, they're just about don't do this, don't do this. How about if we change them to commitments? Okay. So, what would that look like with commandments 3 and 4? Okay. Do not misuse that holy name of the Lord. Okay, that's the commandment. What if I change that to a commitment? I am committed. Because I believe the name of God is so holy and so sacred. I am committed that I will only use His name in a proper way. I will not be sloppy. I will not be frivolous. I will not be lazy with the name of the Lord. Because I am committed to Him. And I am committed to the name of the Lord. What about the Sabbath thing? The 1, 6, 1, 6, 6, 1. 1 out of 7. A lot of people hate that. It's a rule. How about if you turn it into a commitment? I am committed to give God one day out of seven and make it holy. And make it special in my life. A day of rest, a day that's different for me, a day when I will worship God with my brothers and sisters, a day when I will remember what God has done in my life and I will thank Him, a day when I will realign myself in my relationship with God. I'm committed to a holy day. And I'm not going to tell you what day that should be for you. There are some days that are easier to do that, if you really want to do that. It's about commitment. It's not about keeping a command. It's about a commitment to a principle God set up as a gift to you, as a day for Him. So that's the idea. Have you turned these commandments into commitments? No other gods before me. Are you committed to the one God and Him alone? No idols in the form of creation. Are you committed to the Creator and only to Him? Do not misuse the name of the Lord. Are you committed to God and His name and only using His name in a proper way that honors Him? Observe a Sabbath day and observe it in a holy way, a different way. Are you committed to God's Sabbath principle? Are you committed to giving Him one day in seven? That's different. It's about commitment. It's not about keeping rules. It's about commitment. I want to close with Matthew chapter 22. If you would turn there. Matthew 22. Verse 34, 35, one day an expert in the law comes to Jesus, tests Him with the question, "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law?" What's the greatest of all those commands? Pick one. Tell us. Jesus replied, verse 37, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And then if you notice, in verse 40, all the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. But the first is, love God. All the law hangs on that. So let's go back to Exodus. The first four commandments are all about loving God, aren't they? They're about loving the Lord your God. No other God before me. That's about loving one God and keeping Him the only God. No idols in the form of things God has created. That's about loving God. Bowing to nothing else. Worshiping nothing else but Him. That's loving Him. Not misusing His name, His holy name. That's loving Him. That's loving Him so much you will never drag His name into some common, profane, improper setting. Give me one day out of seven. That's different. Make it holy. That's loving Him, giving Him one day, isn't it? That's loving Him. The first four commandments are about loving God. They shouldn't be burdensome. John said in 1 John 5, if we love God, the commandments aren't burdensome. Right? Because we love Him. I will have no other God. I will make no images. I will not misuse His name. I will give Him one day. Because I love Him. It's not a burden. It's not a burden at all. I love Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for just taking us back, causing us to think about these commandments again. Forgive us for being so familiar with them that we take them for granted and we get lazy and sloppy with all of them. Father, I pray that we would realize You were serious. You spoke these 10 Yourself. Set the tone. Father, I pray that we would go from here seeking how You would want us to express our love for You in keeping these four commandments, these first four. Show us how to love You in these four ways. Amen.